evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, coming up this evening, I'll be looking forward to the National Potato Conference and Trade Show, which takes place next Tuesday in the Red Cow Hotel on the Naas Road in Dublin. I'll be speaking with Michael Hennessy, Head of Crops Knowledge Transfer with Chagas. But first, I've been speaking with Damien McDonald, Director General with the IFA. He was in the county this week where he attended the annual general meeting of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA in Letterkenny on Tuesday night.
Damien McDonald, Director General of the IFA. You've been at the County Donegal Executive here this evening, and you mentioned the four main areas that you see as being really key in the year ahead.
Yes, Chris. Yeah, the four issues that I mentioned that I suppose focused on tonight were Brexit, cap reform, the Mercosur trade deals, and climate change. And, you know, each of those are, as it happens, the four of them are coming at us practically at the same time. I mean, Brexit obviously we're only this stage less than 14 months away from the day when the United Kingdom will leave the European Union. And, you know, there's obviously huge concerns about the impact that will have on the agri-food sector. There was a report even published today, again, which emphasised the potential damage there. A knock-on consequence of Brexit, of course, is that the Common Agricultural Policy will be minus 3.8 billion, approximately 3.8 billion euros in funding. That's a huge challenge as well, in terms of what the Common Agricultural Policy will look like post 2020. And while there are lots of views about the detail of how it should be applied, the big issue for us at the moment is that there's a sufficient budget there to at least maintain the existing budget and hopefully grow it a bit. Then we're facing the European Union are currently negotiating a trade deal with the Latin American countries known as the Mercosur countries, where they propose to offer significant additional access for beef to those countries into the European market in return for us having access to their market and other commodities. And that will be decided probably in February. And there's real concerns there because after Brexit, the European Union will be 116% self-sufficient in beef itself, never mind allowing more imports in. And then finally, I mentioned the challenges posed by climate change. And as you know, the Irish government has signed up to climate targets for 2020 and 2030. And they face fines, the government faces fines if we don't reach those targets. And that's putting a lot of pressure on the agricultural sector. Probably we feel unfair pressure. I mean, the sector, even though we've grown output by 40%, I think emissions are down by 3.5%. Obviously, the expansion in the dairy herd has put us under a little bit more pressure in that area. But we're very strong that, you know, there are three aspects to sustainability: economic, environmental, and social. And there's rightly a huge emphasis on the environmental side, but I think we have to look at the economic and social consequences of some of the measures that some people are proposing in terms of trying to address the climate change challenge.
You also made the point tonight about the IFA going forward, that the organisation actually had a deficit last year. On the plus side, membership is growing again, and you stress the importance of people not only being members, but also the importance of the levies.
Yeah, well, look, any representative organisation has to be funded, and the IFA is funded through membership and a levy at the point of sale, a 0.15 of a percent. You know, we can't continue to run at a deficit. The organisation has put a three-year plan in place to close that deficit, which involves obviously looking at efficiencies in terms of spending, but also looking at rebuilding that levy income. And I made the point here, I mean, the reason the IFA can do what it does off a relatively modest budget when compared to what other organisations have to spend is because of the huge voluntary effort put in by farmers. And not every farmer can give their time, but I'd be very strong that at the very least every farmer should do is at least make their membership contribution and pay their levy. If they're not, and if they can give their time to help and assist their fellow farmers, that'd be great as well. But we have to face the realities that if farmers want to have a properly funded organisation, you know, it does have to be properly funded if it wants to operate at the level we operate to. And I mean, we're going toe-to-toe with the European Commission, the Department of Agriculture, multinational companies, trying to defend farmers' interests. And, you know, you have to be properly resourced if you're going to do that effectively.
And finally, the fodder aid scheme. Not everybody's overly happy with the way it's panned out, and there were issues raised here. But you stressed, I mean, the IFA is continuing to lobby on the farmers' behalf.
Yeah, well, look, obviously, the IFA's position right from the start and we had 11 of our county chairmen from the surrounding counties here in to meet the minister back in November, and we made the point that what we were looking for there was a meal voucher which would help farmers to stretch their fodder. But the minister ruled that out. That was a very clear decision he made from the start, and now he's come forward with a transport scheme. And I think, look, there's lots of worries about how that's going to work. We've asked the minister to reconvene the fodder action group as a matter of urgency to try and figure out some of the detail. And independently, then we sat down with ICOS in the last couple of days to try to figure out ourselves how we could work the scheme, because at the end of the day there are farmers in a dire situation here. There, you know, there's a potential animal welfare issue coming at us, and we feel we have a responsibility to try and make the scheme work. And we sat down with ICOS and we've produced a document in terms of how it might work. But I think it's important to point out that through the voluntary efforts again of the officers here in Donegal, that there, a huge amount of fodder has been brought into Donegal by the IFA, some of it donated for free by farmers and some of it given it for little or nothing down the country and transported up here, that the IFA had to do that themselves. And, you know, we're a lobby group. That isn't our natural territory to be getting involved in transporting fodder and so on. So we're glad the minister's on the pitch, but we're very worried that this scheme isn't going to work. It's too complex. And, you know what, the farmer, the co-op, the haulier, the person supplying the mail, the fodder, all have to do in terms of effort for a relatively small subsidy. I'd be concerned that it's not going to have the impact we'd like it to have.
And that was Damien MacDonald, Director General of the IFA. Moving on now to the forthcoming National Potato Conference. Michael Hennessy, Head of Crop Knowledge Transfer with Teagasc. The National Potato Conference and Trade Show is taking place on Tuesday. That's February the 20th, and it's become an annual event. Plenty of things on the agenda. Essentially, how long is it going, and how did it all come about in the first place?
Yeah, well, it's a conference that we put on every other year. So it's I suppose it's a highly anticipated conference that comes up. I suppose that I suppose locally, potato growers in Ireland can get a chance to get up to date with all the latest happenings, I suppose, within the market for one, but also on some technical issues as well. And this year, we're lucky enough that we have on the technical side, we've a very good lineup where we have Dr. Adrian Cunningham from Sutton Bridge in the UK coming across to talk about potato storage. Sutton Bridge would be the leading edge of the potato storage, and they do a lot of trials. So hopefully he'll bring a lot of that knowledge back to us. We also have Dr. Stuart Whale talking about salad potatoes, which are kind of the smaller potato that people would eat. It'd be the one that would cook relatively fast, I suppose, maybe in comparison to your rooster. So we're going through that, and we also have a guy we were working with, a farmer, farm manager called Ed Tobin from Slaney Farms down in Wexford, who has good knowledge of salad potatoes, so he's going to be chatting about those. And lastly, on that technical part of it, we have a good bit of information on potato cyst nematode, which is a small little, I suppose, a little organism in the soil that kind of builds up if too many potatoes in a rotation over years in the soil, and it can do quite a bit of damage on potatoes. So that's the sort of technical lineup. And I suppose maybe for other people more broadly, then we have a session on marketing and markets. So we, about every time we hold this conference, we hear from the Kantar World Panel, which is essentially a panel that surveys the amount of groceries and the value of the groceries by a panel of the general public, if you like, and kind of reports on what's in their basket. And obviously the focus on this is in potatoes and how much people are buying, how often they're buying, how much they're buying, when they're buying it, that kind of thing. You know, so that has a huge implications for any farmer of Donegal or anywhere else around Ireland in terms of, you know, what size or packs people like to buy in.
And things certainly are quite different now than they were 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's obviously been a fall off in consumption, number one. We used to be eating quite a lot of potatoes nationally. I think the figure is somewhere in the mid or early 90s, 140 kilos, and now it's probably a little around 90 somewhere around there, so it's fallen off quite significantly. But we're buying potatoes very differently now than we were back then. I mean, pretty much all potatoes are washed now. They're in smaller bags. Houses are smaller and various different things that people are actually storing them. They don't have, you know, the room for the big four stone bag or the 8 kilo bag of stuff. They would want something smaller, more convenient. But nonetheless, if people continue to buy them, and if that's what they're looking for, that's what the Irish potato farmers or the Donegal potato farmers will certainly react to.
Yeah, and with all the competition, be it from pasta or rice or whatever, there's been a little bit of a re-education, and the whole health benefits of potatoes has become a very important thing now, and people are actually finding out the qualities that are there and the nutritional values that they may not have been aware of in the past.
Yeah, I mean, look, potatoes, we I suppose, as an industry, because of the fact that I suppose potatoes are a makeup of small farmers and that, and it's not a kind of a big industry kind of pushing it, like so maybe Coca-Cola or maybe some of the bigger brands of pasta or rice, as you rightly say there. So because of that, the promotion side on potatoes, they probably got left behind a little bit and been neglected a little bit. It was probably the easy target for a long time for people to say that they were high in carbohydrates and they weren't very good for you and it was better off to eating something else, whereas that's actually not the case. And we have Aoife Hearn, who is a dietitian, she's actually currently doing the RTE show for the losing weight show, if you like. So she's presenting at that, and we have another lady, colleague of mine in Chagas, Fiona Crispy, who is giving us an idea about how potatoes interact with the microbiome in our stomach. So essentially, in our stomachs, we have a huge amount of different bacteria, and that reacts differently in comparison to the food that we feed it. So potatoes, it's turning out, are actually extremely good for the microbiome, which, if you have a good, healthy, and diverse population down in your stomach, would you believe that's kind of what we have down there? But if it is diverse and healthy, that's actually reflected in your general health, if you like. So that's an extremely interesting and exciting kind of thing that, not just potato growers on the day want to hear about, but certainly I think people further afield.
And I see the subtitle here on the literature, Potatoes, What's Under the Skin. I mean, it really is a unique opportunity to see people from across the industry, to equip yourself with knowledge about things coming down the track. Just to recap, it's on in the Red Cow Hotel in the Naas Road there, just on the outskirts of Dublin, Tuesday the 20th of February. And if somebody wants to attend, can they still book? What's the procedure there?
They can still book. They can still book through either contacting the IFA. There's a lady called Lorraine McGrath at ifa.ie, and you can book your tickets from there. Or, to be fair, there's probably people will turn up on the day, and that's no problem as well.
And just finally, from your own point of view, looking at the industry, and can one be positive about the future? Has it gone through a little bit of a bumpy patch, and we're seeing better times ahead?
Yeah, well, we have come through. You only go back about 3 years ago. We had a string of 3 or 4 years that just weren't so great because we had too much supply on the market. And we in Ireland, if you like, are slightly different to the UK in that we like our potatoes and we have a different taste to the UK. And we were protected somehow, from the UK markets. But when we have a lot of potatoes in the UK, of which we have this year, some of those, the lower quality stuff can spill into the Irish market for processing and into some of the trade industries, and that puts pressure on price for Ireland. So I suppose the market of two halves out there this year. Some growers have got on reasonably well, but guys who hadn't got a market supported or kind of selling on the open market aren't doing so great at the minute. But look, potato farmers are a resilient lot. They're probably some of the best in the world of growing potatoes and growing quality potatoes. So, most of them, I think, would agree the future is reasonably bright.
And that was Michael Hennessy, Head of Crops Knowledge Transfer with Chagas. Just time for the livestock prices, cattle prices. Well, prices stronger. Steer base making €3.90 to €3.95 a kilo. Heifers making €4 to €4.05 a kilo. Young bulls are grade €3.90 a kilo, ewe grade €4 a kilo, and cows making €3.25 to €3.70 a kilo. Sheep prices also stronger, supplies tighter, factories paying from €5.20 to €5.40 plus a kilo. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. From me, Chris Ashmore, as always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, goodbye.